Hey freaks, it's Thursday, January 15th, 2015. Coming up on the program today, best rape scene in a major motion picture, plus poop dick, cheating on your Ferris wheel, and whale vomit. All of this plus your voicemails today on the Distorted View Show.
I was doing my laundry and some girl's underwear got mixed with mine and I actually put it on my dog.
Then bite off his penis.
I love you and I miss you.
Dimension with you back for the Thursday edition of DV. Have a great one for you. I should talk about what I did yesterday. I posted a special video for Sideshow Freaks. It was 5 minutes chock full of retards. By the way, that was going to be the original name of this podcast if I didn't go with Distorted View. Chock full of retards. Yeah, I found this video of a special education talent show. And it was just phenomenal. So I spent too much time yesterday editing this fucking shit, and I posted it. I didn't post a regular episode of DV, so we're going to be doing an exclusive program this weekend. That's in addition to the Sideshow-only program I have for you tomorrow. It's a great time to sign up, superfreaksideshow.com. Been posting more videos recently, so if you like my visual stupidity, you really should sign up. Now listen, at the top of the program today, I just want to state, I'm not the biggest fan of rape, but hey, sometimes shit happens. That's good defense, by the way, if any of you are ever accused of rape. Your Honor, I'm saying, look, shit happens. What do you want me to say? You caught me. Man. All right, so yeah, you know, rape is bad. I can't believe I have to say that. Yeah, you know, in case you didn't know, rape is bad. There are rape enthusiasts and rape collectors. What the hell am I talking about? Well, I was on some questionable websites recently, and I found out that you could download packs of rape. Let me explain. You know how, like, some people will take, like, the Star Wars movies and stitch them all together and put them in chronological order and then, you know, post it on, you know, a torrent site so you can download it. That's pretty much what the rape packs are. It's just a collection of rape scenes. And I'm not talking like 10 rape scenes, 20 rape scenes. I've got a torrent here of 140 rape scenes. And I also want to be clear here in stating that these are not from porn videos. This is not like, you know, extreme torture porn or anything like that. These are from mainstream movies. The actual title of the pack here is 140 mainstream movie rape scenes. Now, I thought we would take a few, play them, analyze them, and then pick the best. I've thought a lot about this, and we will be judging on a few pieces of criteria here. First up, how graphic in nature the rape scene is. The more graphic, the better, obviously, for mainstream movies. Two, the quality of the audio, right? The more screaming and crying, the better. And that's really just, you know, because this is an audio podcast, and, you know, the more good pieces of audio, the better, you know, for you guys. And third, style points. We're looking for creativity. Now, I wish we had a trophy or some sort of award statue that could be presented at the end. I'm not good at sculpting, but I know I've got some very crafty listeners. You know, we've had people give us dolls, talking dolls, and wooden toys. A lot of stuff you guys have sent me. So I know it's possible. Here's what I would... this is what I would love the trophy to look like. The rape award statue. I want an angry-looking penis. You could make the balls have eyes, you know, make it look lifelike. The slit of the dick could be a frown. And it's being pointed at a vagina. Now, the vagina could have feet or something. It could be standing up as well. And there should be a single tear rolling down the side of one of the lips of the vagina. It's scared, you see. It knows what's coming. Excuse the pun. So yeah, so we got an angry penis doing the raping, you know, a scared pussy, and it should be spray-painted bronze or gold or something. Now, my ideas about the angry penis and the crying vagina, that's just a jumping-off point. Feel free to insert your own creativity. Now, I've got 140 rape scenes, like I've mentioned, so we'll be doing this segment occasionally. We've got the Oscars, we've got the Grammys, the Tonys, the Emmys. Let's add to that great list of award shows, the Cosbys. Celebrating great moments in forced sex scenes in cinema. I've got three painful and cringeworthy rape scenes for the first installment of the Cosbys. Oh, those rape scenes. Oh, that forced entry. Oh, those rape scenes with the men so angry. Ladies are so very weak, so very meek. Sometimes they don't even know what they want or need. Like dead, fabulous rape scenes. Those fellas take what they need. Velvety punani. Fuck her right in the pussy. Now it's time to end this song and start the show. Those awful rape scenes are loaded, willing, ready to.
Rape scenes are loaded, willing, ready to.
Rape scenes are willing, ready to begin unconsensually. Ladies and gentlemen, star of the upcoming Belinda Carlisle biopic, Mad About You, and your host for the evening, Tim Henson. Good evening. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining me. What an exciting evening we have for you today. You know, when I was asked to play Belinda Carlisle in the upcoming biopic, Mad About You, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I didn't know if Belinda Carlisle had ever been a victim of rape before, but I played the character like she was a rape victim. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes. It was a very brave choice. I know. Being a victim of rape is not a weakness. And as I show you in my portrayal of Belinda Carlisle, it can even be powerful. Rape can give you power. In Belinda's case, it gave her the power of telepathy and the ability to control time and space. What powers rape gives you is up to you, if you let it. If you believe. All right, enough of me lecturing. We've got some Cosbys to give away. We start with a fan favorite. Best rape scene in a public space. Best public rape scene. And your nominees are... I Spit on Your Grave.
Stop it! Grab her on.
Well, what do we have here? Three guys in the wilderness against one girl in a canoe. They capture her, get her in the woods.
Stop it!
Pin her down.
Broads all yours, come on!
And I guess he's calling over his friends.
Come on!
That's pretty nice of the guy to give his friend first shot. I mean, no one wants sloppy seconds.
Not now.
Fucking asshole, we got it for you, come on!
I can't do it now.
Got it for you. It's a birthday gift.
Not now.
God damn it. Don't stand there like a prick. Get over here.
I can't.
Come on.
Worst rapist ever. I can't do it right now. I'm not ready. I've got to prepare mentally for these things. It's like, dude, how often does a woman show up in your goddamn backwoods holler? I mean, she has all of her teeth. This is as good as it's going to get for you. You got to strike while the iron's hot. Well, he's coming closer.
Okay, fucking asshole, just grab her leg.
We'll show you how it's done.
Faster, come on.
I've never seen this movie. I'm guessing he's a virgin and his friends are helping him out.
Hey, hold it tight.
Pop his cherry.
Stop it!
Hey, okay, relax, damn it.
relax. You can't tell a woman to relax when you've got three of your friends pinning her down, you're getting naked, and you're about to rape her.
Why, fucking God?
Stop it!
This movie is getting major points for using the word broad over and over. One of my favorites.
Stop it!
Move over. Relax, damn it.
This is how you do it. And he's inside of her. Good audio quality. All right, a few minutes later, the next guy starts raping her from behind. I'm guessing he's anally violating her. Either that or he's much larger than the last guy, because her screams this time are piercing. He's really thrashing around. He's giving it to her much harder than the last guy. What guy sounds like that when fucking? That's not hot. I mean, there's nothing hot about rape. I want you guys to understand, it's okay to enjoy these scenes. It's acting. These aren't real rape scenes, okay? I feel like I had to mention that. Okay. God damn. Your second nominee for best public rape scene comes from the movie Gutter Balls. We find our protagonist in a bar or pool hall.
Look out of this.
Uh-oh. Some guys have found her.
I'm gonna make you pay for fucking with me.
Trying to hit that
50, God. And now I'm gonna get what's been coming to me since prom night.
Well, he's getting ready to rape her, although I can't focus on anything other than the music. I'm pretty sure that's Loverboy in the background. I'm no way at all. So why don't you just stop it? Why would Loverboy allow their music to be used in a rape scene in a movie? It's really bizarre. We'll hear from Loverboy later on in the broadcast. They're nominated for Best Song in a Rape Scene. All right, so let's get back to this pool alley thing, whatever.
Fuck up! Fuck up!
They're laying her down on a pinball machine.
Give it to me. Fucking make that shit up!
You guys, I thought we were just gonna scare her.
Oh yeah, she's gonna be scared, right? Just send my big pecker, right, bitch?
Do you want to shut the fuck up?
That'll really scare her.
You're ruining the moment.
Let's get in there, Steve.
Pat, you look up that old fucker.
It's always interesting because these rape scenes tend to be a group affair. One guy fucking, a lot of guys watching. It's a little gay. All the clothes are
off.
I'm gonna fast forward here. A few different guys take turns plowing her.
Jordan, get in there. Get that pussy up, man.
Come on in here. You're next.
Shut the fuck up, Patrick.
All right.
You're going in fucking next.
They're like throwing her around. She was on the pinball machine, then I think she was on the air hockey table, now she's on the floor. She's crying, and you know, guys don't like to hear that. Here's another guy fucking her.
Fuck!
You're telling an unconscious woman. Work with me here, come on!
Man.
Oh yeah!
Yeah! Get it in there! Fucker! Yeah!
Get in there!
Fuck!
I always like the loud comers. The real reason I featured Gutter Balls is for the ending of this rape scene, which involves a bowling ball pin being inserted into her pussy.
Ready for this, bitch?
Be the bowling ball pin.
Get off her, Steve.
You in charge now, Pat? Huh?
You want to be her knight in shining armor? You just watched five guys rape her and you didn't do anything.
fucking calling the shots?
She's not gonna wanna be with you either.
Okay. Then you fucking do it.
Right, so now he's gotta insert the bowling pin up her pussy.
I'm sorry.
And he's trying to stick the top of the pin. You know how the bowling pin is shaped? It's like bulbous at the top. It goes down a little bit and then it gets wider again. Trying to jam the tip in.
Hey! Wrong end.
And the main rapist is like, no, I don't want that end. You gotta stick the fat end of the bowling pin up her pussy.
The big end, motherfucker.
Fuck, come on, Steve, that's fucked. Call it off, man.
Do it!
It won't fit.
No fucking shit, it won't fit, you dumb fuck.
Just make it deep. Make it fit. God, there's some great music to this movie. Is that why the name of this movie is Gutter Balls? I didn't realize that at first. Oh my god, the bowling pin is covered in blood. Oh, you can hear blood pouring out. Hold on, let me rewind it here just a second.
Good boy.
Shut up. The third nominee tonight is from a movie called Hot Blood, in which men hold up a bank. One of the robbers takes a female employee and makes her clean out the safe. But it's not just money he wants. He's holding his gun, by the way, down by his crotch and waving it like a dick.
What's the matter?
Feeling her breasts.
Now that you've cleaned us out, aren't you gonna leave?
I'm finished, yeah.
I want the pussy, too.
Scratch your mouth, didn't you?
Gagging her mouth.
Hurt you, man. Since you've been so cheerful and cooperative, I thought it only fitting that I should reward you with a little deposit.
Do you have an account with us, even?
Oh. Trouble we've caused you.
Very kind of us
to bring the balance.
It's bank humor. Deposits, getting the balance up. She's wearing really sexy, lacy underwear. It's like she was hoping for something like this to happen.
Get going, you bitch.
He's like, get going, you bitch. And it's like, dude, you have to do the work. She's being raped. She's not going to be a willing participant. By the very definition of rape, I mean, she's not going to be into it. So, yeah, you're going to have to do the heavy lifting here. Oh, there he goes. He's fucking her now.
Coming. I'm going to blast your eyes. Oh, and now we're going to call him Samuel. Just like dad. Oh.
What was that? All I got was, I'm gonna bust your ovaries. That's gotta be the greatest line that we've heard today. Is it enough to take home the award for best public rape scene? Let's find out right now.
Best public rape scene.
And the Cosby for best public rape scene goes to... They make these so hard to open... Gutter Balls! Accepting the award for Gutter Balls, Jeff Goldblum!
Goddamn rich cunt! I kill rich cunts!
Coming up after the break, a musical performance by Chris Brown,
and the award for best rape scene in an animated feature when the first annual Cosby Awards continue.
Wow, I think we've got a hit on our hands. Maybe I can find a television network to air the Cosbys. All right. Oh, you know, speaking of award shows, we'll just do a couple short clips and then we'll get into the news, I promise. But the Oscar nominations were announced, and there was a bit of a cock-up. Take a listen.
For achievement in cinematography, the nominees are Emmanuel Lubezki for Birdman or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance.
Uh-huh.
Robert Yeoman for the Grand Budapest Hotel.
So far, so good.
Lukasz Jal and Richard Lenchowski.
All right, these are hard names to say. Lukasz Jalan, Richard Lenchowski. I can't even say, I just heard her say it. I can't mimic what came out of her mouth.
For Ida. Dick Pope.
Wait, yeah, see now, that's what she screws up on. A four-letter name. Dick what?
Dick Poop!
Cinematographer for some of the greatest scat films in the history of pornography.
Dick Pope. For Mr. Turner.
Dick Poop. I will forever have the sense of humor of like a 10-year-old. And finally, before we get into the news today, freaks, we've talked about the woman who married Ferris Wheel. Did she actually get married? I think she got some crackpot priest to perform some sort of ceremony. Pagan, probably. Witchcraft, sorcery. Everything's dork-sided. Her name is Jade. I went to her station. I don't know what the hell's going on with me today. I apologize. Too much sugar. Anyway, her name is Linda. She is in love with inanimate objects, specifically the Ferris wheel. There are a lot of people. I'm not going to say a lot of people. There are some people, a few mental cases, who are in love with objects, things. Like a car. I remember the guy who's like, he has like several cars that he's in love with. I think his favorite is like a Beetle, a Volkswagen Beetle. He also is the guy who had sex with the helicopter from Airwolf. It's a weird story. At any rate, My Strange Addiction, one of my favorite television shows and one of the worst things to ever air on TV, did an update on this chick. So let's check in with the woman who loves Ferris wheels.
My name is Linda, and I'm married to a carnival ride called a skydiver.
So does that make you a carny? You're just a carny fucker. So, it's been 26 years since Linda's skydiver husband, Bruce, has been operable. Apparently that's the name of the ride, I guess. She's yearning to spend time with a working ride. So what have we learned here already? That even people who are in love with things that have no feeling, things that aren't alive, steal, basically. Even people who are in love with inanimate objects can cheat. She can't remain faithful with her Ferris wheel. She says it's not cheating, though. I guess she got permission from the Ferris wheel.
I'm a very monogamous person. I've made the commitment to Bruce, and so I'm not gonna jump the new ride in town and say, oh, I want this.
Bruce is the name of the Ferris wheel she gave to it, I guess. I don't know.
When I wasn't with Bruce, I did have a relationship with this skydiver behind me. Yes, I did. And we were close. A lot of people have thought, is that cheating or being unfaithful to ride on another ride? Personally, I don't think it is. I want to walk over there and walk up the ramp and say hello, basically.
Yeah, walk up that ramp, honey.
I can't stop smiling when I look up.
Get up in that thing.
Wow.
Give it a spin, if you know what I mean. Take a ride.
Just can't wait. This is really pretty awesome.
I don't understand what's going on here. She's gonna squirt all over that car.
I get a little bit excited there. Oh. I lose my composure. Operating the skydiver is a different feeling.
All right. She's a woman. She has needs. She wants to be with a working ride. It's understandable.
My husband is one of these. How cool is that? I don't think that riding on another skydiver is cheating on my husband any more than you going to a grocery store and talking to another man.
Yeah, but you're operating the ride, lady. That in my book, that's considered cheating. You're getting in it. You're sitting on it.
Can I do this? Okay. Okay.
Here she goes. Taking for a spin. She's enjoying this way too much. Look, there's gotta be rules.
Well, riding, you get to actually feel the experience of what Bruce does and what a skydiver really is. And there's no other ride that duplicates the sensation of a skydiver. For me, it's always been a floating, just breathtaking experience, but not in a bad way.
No.
I'm not addicted to anything. I'm not in an obsessive relationship, but I am in a married relationship with my ride.
Perfectly normal.
That was pretty cool. I can just bring this energy back to Bruce and say, yes, this is what we want. This is what we want for you. We got to get you back to this state again.
So she owns one of these rides, I guess. It's the same type of ride. Just hers that she has in her backyard or whatever doesn't work.
What does Bruce do for me? He completes the wholeness in my heart.
Well, there it is. It's all stacked up on a truck.
He's my soulmate, and hopefully we'll be together into eternity.
All right. Thank you, Crazy. And with that, let's get into the Crazy Bizarre Twisted Upside Down News right now. If you're not a member of the Distorted View Sideshow, what are you waiting for? Help support this stupidity, get full access to the entire archive of programs, every single show from the last 10 years, plus video casts like the one I did yesterday, exclusive programs like the one I have for you tomorrow and this weekend, also extended shows like the Tuesday episode. So much great exclusive content just for paying members. This is how I make my living. Support the show. Support me. Let me be your starving African child. For as little as 18 cents a day, you can help ensure that I get enough food, heart medication. Am I pulling at your heartstrings yet? Yeah, I've got a medical condition. Mama says I won't make it through the winter if I don't get my pills. Yeah, sign up for the Sideshow. Support this stupidity. Superfreaksideshow.com. Three quick stories, and then we will get the hell out of here. First up, whale vomit. Whale vomit is in the news. We've heard a lot about whale vomit, its medicinal purposes. But now, whale vomit apparently is an aphrodisiac. A chemical in the mammal's sick has been shown to turn on rats. Rats are fucking freaky! Into puke play. It's rodents and Japanese people. Well, the two people turned on by vomit. Forget chocolates and oysters. One of the planet's most powerful aphrodisiacs could be found in whale vomit. The sea creature's sick contains something known as ambergris. I'm sure I'm fucking that name up. Which is a waxy, flammable substance that has a foul smell. In one study, out of 1,000, scientists found that a chemical in ambergris, whatever, caused male rats to crave sex more often. Maybe the rats were just horny already. Maybe it had nothing to do with the whale vomit. The study was done several years ago. What a waste of money. But was recently spotted by Esther Inglis Urkel on IO9. Ambergris, she explains, used to be taken from the stomach of sperm whales on a regular basis. Whales can also eject the dark intestinal slurry into the ocean, where it hardens like a rock-hard shaft. It's particularly valuable in the perfume industry, because it smells so good, where it works as a fixative, preventing the scent's molecules from floating away too quickly. When fresh, it smells like feces. But as it ages, it takes on a sweet and musky smell. Honey, what's that fragrance you're wearing? It smells great. Oh, that's Whale Puke by Elizabeth Arden. Believe it or not, it is very valuable. Several years ago, a couple walking on an Australian beach found a 32-pound chunk of the stuff. It netted them almost $300,000. Its main component, scientists found, was ambrion. That's the stuff you take to go to sleep. probably because the smell is so pungent, it just knocks you out. Researchers at the Khein Saud University in Saudi Arabia dosed male rats with Ambrian and then observed their behavior. Male sexual activities were assessed by recording the erectile responses and homosexual mountings in the absence of females. Ambrian, whatever the fuck, however you say that, produced recurrent episodes of penile erection, a dose-dependent, vigorous, and repetitive increase in sex. Ass-thumping, gay, faggoty rat sex. The authors concluded that the use of chemicals in whale vomit could work as an effective aphrodisiac. So there we go. Second story we have for you today. You know, we were playing music from those rape scenes earlier today. A lot of 80s music like Loverboy. Well, Rick Springfield is in the news. I refuse to call this an Access Entertainment Hollywood News Insider Report Extra Edition Tonight story because, you know, who's thought of Rick Springfield in the last 30 years? You guys remember Rick Springfield, right? He sang Jesse's Girl. I was Jesse's Girl. Wait, I wish I could be Jesse's Girl. Wait, how does that song go? Why does he want to be a girl? I wish I had Jesse's Girl. Whatever, it doesn't matter. My favorite song, though, is a lesser-known Rick Springfield hit called Love Is All Right Tonight. Like, it's got a way better intro. Like, already. Oh, I'm loving it. Right, listen to this. I'm picking up my baby tonight. Though daddy's making trouble, it'll be all right. I'm working hard. I don't know why. I'm like a working class dog. Don't worry. I'm already thinking about singing this for you. Let me just get to the chorus. Some of you may remember this song. Probably not. By second, by minute, love is all right tonight. All right, so that's Rick Springfield, if you don't know who he is, if you're too young. 1980s pop icon Rick Springfield is in the news. Well, he's set to testify in a lawsuit over his ass. What? Vicky Calcagno of Liverpool, New York, says Springfield struck her with his ass. His firm, tight, little round buttocks during a concert in 2004. The fact that you're admitting to attending a Rick Springfield concert in 2004 is telling. It tells me you're old and have shitty taste in music. All right, this was like a Rick Springfield concert in 1987. 2004. According to the Syracuse Post-Standard, Calcagno claims Springfield's buttocks caused serious, disabling, and permanent injuries. Jesus Christ, Rick, what's going on with your ass? It won't quit after she was knocked unconscious. Springfield is best known for the hit Jesse's Girl and for starring on the soap opera General Hospital in the 1980s. On Tuesday, Springfield testified he didn't see Calcagno fall. Her damn fault. You know it was her fault. She wanted to dance close to Rick Springfield. And, you know, he turned around, probably sideswiped her with that thing of his. This is a retrial. Are you shitting me? We're spending this much time on Rick Springfield's butt. All right. This is a retrial in the case. The first trial abruptly ended in 2013. The judge declared a mistrial after a second witness stepped forward, saying she was also knocked down by Springfield's butt at the same concert. Why would the judge declare that a mistrial? Now it seems even more likely that Rick Springfield is just not being careful with his butt. They should set up a class action lawsuit for everyone who's been knocked unconscious with Rick Springfield's ass. It's really bizarre. All right, so there's another trial going on about that. Final story we have for you today. You guys remember that movie that came out recently? It's called Heaven is for Real, and it's about this little boy who, like, supposedly died and saw heaven and then came back to life. I don't know, he's like in a coma or something. A bunch of bullshit. Well, another kid came forward and wrote a book called The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven, a True Story. Sounds like a bunch of bullshit to me, and it was. Yes, the boy who wrote The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven just admitted to being a big fat liar in an open letter posted on a Christian website on Tuesday. He says, I did not die. I did not go to heaven. Well, I know someone who will be going to hell, that's for fucking sure. It was a best-selling book, believe it or not. It was published in 2010. It describes what little Alex experienced while he lay in a coma after a car accident at the age of 6. The coma lasted a couple months, and his injuries left him paralyzed. Gawker has a funny passage from the book. He's describing what the devil looks like. Now, I don't know why he got a chance to see what the devil looks like if he was, you know, sent to heaven, but whatever. I guess you get a glimpse of him. The devil's mouth is funny looking with only a few moldy teeth, and I've never noticed any ears. His body has a human form with two bony arms and two bony legs. He has no flesh on his body, only some moldy stuff.
That is slander. That's a bold-faced lie.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
This fucking little turd is going to get what's coming to him. That's for sure.
I mean, he conned probably millions of people out of money. Yep. I mean, it was a best-selling book.
Yep.
Pretty much a liar and a thief.
That's right.
The delinquent, bad, evil child.
Preach on, sister.
He's exactly the type of person you should love.
Yeah, but, you know, he said I had moldy teeth. I don't have moldy teeth. They're yellow.
Well, look, the good news is he is a lying little bastard. He probably will be sent to hell, and then you can do whatever you want with him.
Maybe I'll adopt him.
Why would you do that? You hate him.
Yeah, but I respect what he's trying to accomplish. It's almost like a little me up there on Earth. I could teach him a thing or two.
You are a very complex individual. Ladies and gentlemen, Satan. Thank you so much, Satan, for weighing in on this story. Let's finish it up. According to the website Pulpit...
Oh, away.
There he goes. Bye, Satan. According to the website Pulpit and Pen, Alex wrote that none of this actually happened to him. He says, please forgive the brevity, but because of my limitations, I have to keep this short. So he's already, you know, because of his limitations, I guess physical limitations, because he was in a coma and all that other shit. He's really playing the sympathy card right there. And then the bombshell. I did not die. I did not go to heaven. I said I went to heaven because I thought it would get me attention. Mission accomplished. When I made the claims that I did, I had never read the Bible. People have profited from lies and continue to. Now, when he says people, he should be talking about himself here, but I'm thinking that he doesn't see a lot of the book money. So he doesn't really have a pony in this race. My guess is he's pissed off because he's not making a lot of money. Other people are. So he's like, well, you know what? If you don't give me more money, I'm going to tell everyone that I didn't go to heaven. You know, the truth. If I was this kid, I would have waited and said, you know what? I visited heaven again, or I forgot a bunch of cool stuff that happened in heaven. So there's definitely a sequel in me, and I'm going to need a huge advance. So then I'd write the second book. Then later, you know, if your conscience is weighing heavy, you can come out and say that you're a big fat fake phony. It's only through repentance of your sins and a belief in Jesus as the Son of God, oh, so he's still religious, who died for your sins so that you can be forgiven, may you learn of heaven outside of what is written in the Bible, not by reading a work of man. In Christ, Alex Malarkey. His last name is Malarkey. You can't make this shit up. There you go. That, my friends, is your distorted news for Thursday. Let's do a couple voicemails and get the hell out of here. 206-666-4463. That, of course, is our voicemail line. I'm going to play those in just a second. But real quick, I wanted to say thanks to Gregory for making a donation. And I really have to say thanks to Suzu. I don't know if that's how you really pronounce that name or if it's cut off or something. But Suzu, we're going to go with Suzu for an incredibly generous donation. You know, I can sort of squeak on by a little bit from the sideshow membership money. That's how I make my living. It's, you know, I don't live a glamorous life at all, but these donations that come in occasionally, you know, I don't get tons of donations because, you know, people pay for other things, you know, they pay for merchandise, they pay for sideshow memberships, but I do have a donation, you know, link, and you can, you know, donate via PayPal or whatever, and occasionally I do get donations like from Gregory and Suzu, and that really does help out. Like, thank you so much. Tax season is coming up, and that is going to be a real bitch. So it's stuff like that that really helps me out. So thank you so much. Can't say that enough.
Hey, Tim, it's Boneless Donuts. I'm listening to the December 30th show about the woman trying to teach the dolphins how to talk. You're probably going to get 100 calls like this, but she was actually giving the dolphins old-fashioned. She was giving him hand jobs.
Yeah, someone mentioned this on the last episode we did.
so they would, you know,
get... Which I don't know, was that a sideshow exclusive program? Whatever. Yeah, she was given the... She was having sex with the dolphin.
Studying. They didn't want to study unless they got a hand job. And this dolphin actually fell in love with this woman. And when she...
Not enough to learn English, apparently.
He left. Like, 2 months later, he committed suicide. So, yeah, you missed all the most interesting shit about that story, man.
Well, you know, we've talked about the woman who had sex with the dolphin. I didn't realize it was the same woman. I thought this was just a professional woman trying to teach the dolphins how to speak English. You know, she was having sex with them, too. That's how she was getting the dolphins to learn to pay attention like a good teacher.
Hey, Tim, I was just listening to your podcast with the... Dolphin trying to speak with John Lilly and Mark.
Everyone's going to be calling in about this.
Margaret, I think you missed the big picture. If I remember correctly, that was a whole social experiment where the dolphin was living with Margaret and this little, like, submerged house. She would actually give the dolphin hand jobs.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. Hand jobs because he's an adolescent dolphin. He would get horny. She would jerk him off. And then continue trying to communicate with them.
Right, yeah. Well, there you go. I guess I did miss that. I didn't realize it was the same woman. Hey, I'm talking! I didn't realize it was the same woman. I apologize. Also, Wing was on an episode of South Park.
Hey, Tim. It's Chris Tompkinson. Hey, you know the lady you were talking about who was...
No!
You know, doing the whole dolphin thing?
No! Jesus Christ! All right, this last one can't be about dolphins. Please.
Hey, Tim, is Formosa Smith.
Sounds like he has something to add to a news story.
Let me try to do a quick rant.
Okay.
It's not about you. You're wonderful as always.
Thank you. It's about that lady with the dolphin.
But you had the story about the Chinese gutter oil.
I was so scared. My heart just, like, stopped for a second. Okay.
And
yes, the gutter oil. Yes, okay.
The exploding septic tanks and all that.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, I spent 20 years, unfortunately, living and working over in Taiwan and China. They are the most unethical, evil business people in the world. I mean, I guess except for some white business people like me,
except for the Jews, of course.
Yes, although I try to be ethical. Anyway, man, that gutter oil is just horrible. It's something like 40% of the rice in China is contaminated with heavy metals.
Oh.
And I think that's why I'm prematurely gray, because I ate that shit, and it aged me prematurely. So anyway, if you do business with Chinese people, be extremely careful. If you visit China, really, just eat in McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Well, I've told you guys many times the story of how when I was living with Joey... We would go. We had our favorite Chinese place, which was nearby. It was in a strip mall, like all Chinese restaurants. And one day, I saw them on the news. Well, I went there one day, and then they were closed. And I thought that was strange. And then, you know, we saw them on the news because they were leaving out the chicken, just in crates. Right? And so the news was like showing footage of this restaurant. It's out in the open, not refrigerated or anything. And it got so warm, the meat, the chicken meat was like falling apart and seeping through the crates and stuff onto the floor.
That really will lessen your chances of gutter oil.
And then, believe it or not, they reopened, right? And like idiots, we were the first person back at that restaurant. We're like, we don't care. It tasted good. And then it was officially shut down for good. Like, it happened again.
There's no other way, really. Even the most high-end chains use gutter oil.
You think so?
So just avoid that place like the plague if you can.
Well,
and,
I don't plan on going to China anytime soon.
I just think it's too bad that we, our business people destroyed our middle class and shipped our jobs over to that shithole.
Well,
now we've got to live with it.
Yeah.
Okay, man. Keep up the good
work. What can you do?
Have a good 2015.
Hey, the sideshow is an American business, right? I'm keeping it in the U.S. of A. If there was some way I could possibly outsource it to make more money, I would, but I can't. It's a one-man operation, so American pride. Another reason to sign up for the sideshow. That's all the time we have on this edition of the program. Why don't you guys email me, show@distortedview.com. Distortedview.com is our official website. Voicemail line for you, 206-666-4463. That's 206-660-GOD.
Dick poop. Dick poop. Dick Poop.
Spread the distortion. Tell all your friends about the podcast. Don't forget to rate us and review us on iTunes. That is so very important. If you're not Sideshow members, sign up right now because I've got a program tomorrow just for Sideshow Freaks, and I'll be doing a weekend program as well. Otherwise, I'll see you back on Monday to start a new week of programs. Until then, bye, everybody!
I'm picking up my baby tonight, though her daddy's making trouble, it'll be alright. I'm working hard, I don't know why, I'm like a working class dog and I just can't buy. Tonight I'm crawling out for a minute. And though we're living on the brink, second by minute by minute, love is alright, unite. Love is all right. Love is all right tonight.
I've injected my knee with my feces, 120 cc's under my kneecap, just liquefied and pump it in.